And you may want to open your Bible to the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 22. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we look to you again and again. And our Father, we look to you in order that you might help us. And in the light of seeing your person, your presence, who you are, and then we open your word in the light of your presence and who you are, and all of yesterday and all of your word is to become real and help us to understand. So God, here we are, and we're looking to you in the light of Calvary's cross, in the light, Spirit of God, of all that you're able to do to help us understand it. And our Father, we're going to thank you very much in all of it, for all of it, even now. In Christ's name, amen. And in the light of the Easter and all of resurrection, been an empty tomb. And it's awful hard to come to grips with the awesomeness of an empty tomb. It meant so. If you could have been with an angel back then, wow, that's what it was all about. God having his glory and honor and wonderfully doing everything he planned forever by way of himself in Christ Jesus. And thus he rose again to be everything forever. God become visible in his perfect humanity forever in Christ. The invisible God, never see him. Not as God, but you'll always see the visible God made visible, the visible God made visible in the person of Christ. And the Lamb of God in the city of Jerusalem and all of that. And no, there's no need in heaven for any more light. There's no more sun, no more stars as we know it. God is the light. His person is the light of the world. Wow. Now, having said that, now we looked at the gospel, we're looking at the gospel. And the gospel means God's good news, God's glad tidings. And good news. I just said it's good news. Well, now what? What good news? What on earth good news? Well, we use the gospel. We say, you got to know the gospel. Well, what is it to know the gospel? Therefore, Matthew chapter 22. In chapter 22, we have the Sadducees. The Sadducees are noted, they don't believe in the resurrection. Like a lot of people today, they don't believe in the resurrection. They don't believe there is a tomorrow. There's just today. So, let's see what they do. Verse 23. Chapter 22, verse 23. The same day came to him Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection, and asked him, saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die, having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and rise up seed unto his brother. And then you go down in the illustration of the in the light of Deuteronomy, each brother dies, each brother takes the place. Then you come down, take the place, for each brother dies in the second. Sliding down to verse 28. Therefore, and they all keep dying. Therefore, verse 28. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? That's trying to trick him, make him say, now what are you going to say to that one, God, if you believe in the resurrection? And there's seven men, and which one of them is going to be his wife, you know. Which one's going to be the husband? Verse 28 again. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be? Shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. Verse 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, you do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. You don't know the Bible, and you try to talk about the Bible, but you don't know the Bible, and you don't know the power of God. Sliding down. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, and now remember his, Exodus chapter 3, verse 5, and God says, listen, Moses is all concerned at the burning bush. And God says, listen, I am the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. So if you don't mind, I'm quite able to take care of you, Moses. Now, keeping that in your mind, here's verse 32. And I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And Abraham and Isaac and Jacob are in my presence. Back then, they're gone. They're always in my presence. You thought they died. No, they didn't die. I have them in paradise at the moment. Now, so having said that, that's the resurrection. And we don't believe in the resurrection. Well, here come the Pharisees along. I mean, the Pharisees. And the Pharisees are listening, watching his signs and wonders. Over to John. Gospel of John, chapter 6. And in the Gospel of John, chapter 6, picking up, if I may, in verse 28. Now remember, he does signs and wonders, and they're watching him and challenging and questioning. But they are interested in what he can do. So therefore, chapter 6, verse 28. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? We'd like to be able to do like you do. Verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, singular, that you believe, singular, you believe on him whom he has sent. It isn't you can do works. There's one thing you can do, and that is to believe. There's not 20 things you can do. Believe God. One thing. You want to do something? Believe God. But the Pharisees don't believe God. They don't believe God. So now, and then we go just a little bit further to illustrate, over to chapter 11. And remember, in death, Lazarus dies. And Martha, etc., and the people would be concerned. Oh, they believe in a resurrection. They believe in a future. Yay, we believe something about forever. Maybe. Do we know for sure, Martha? No. But we think so. We think so. So, chapter 11, and verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee. And Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And she said, oh, you're asking a theological question. I'll tell you what I understand, said Martha. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Whatever the last day is, I know it will come out right. That's what I know, Martha says. Now, that's wonderful. Translate that into encouragement. Translate that into having a living hope. Not very much. So therefore, the Lord, what are they needed? They needed something immediately. Sadducees, Pharisees, and here are the people that were following him for 3 1/3 years. And therefore, you read, Jesus saith unto her, verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Verse 26, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never perish. Believers in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Never die, never perish. You're never going to die. So that's immediate, right? Pharisees now. And Martha, the average person, the believers that followed him, they're there. But they aren't understanding what he's done. He has brought them good news. He is the good news. He is the good news. What is the good news? 1 Corinthians 15. Don't have to turn there, perhaps. And 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Christ died according to the scriptures. It says, what did he say to the Sadducees? You don't know the scriptures, and you don't know the power of God. Now, so here we are looking, and in the process, God's going to go and do a wonderful thing, and they didn't understand God was a present hope. And the good news involves his death. Christ died according to the scriptures. Is that the good news? No. That's part one. The good news is the whole gospel. The glad news, good news involves what? He died according to the scriptures. He was buried according to the scriptures. He rose again according to the scriptures. That's the good news. 1, 2, 3. Not 1, 2, 3 of them. 3 makes the good news. That's the good news. God, what do you want? I want you to enjoy the good news that I'm going to go and die, be buried, and rise again. Good news. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, so looking, going back over to John chapter 3, and what do we know? The good news involves all three. And to remind yourself and myself, John chapter 3, picking up, if I can. John chapter 3, verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned, judged already. Why? Because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, what's the problem? The good news is only good if you understand what? That he died according to the scriptures. And if you don't believe, like he told the Pharisees, if you don't believe, then you don't know. And thus what? You're dead in trespasses and sin. And you're condemned already. You're already condemned. Wrong position. You're on the wrong side of the cross. He's died according to the scriptures, and you're on the wrong side. Do it again a little differently. Verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God is presently abiding on top of that unbeliever. Condemned already, the wrath of God abideth on you. That's not a good position. In the light of the good news said it is able to save you from being condemned, from having the wrath of God sitting over your head. The good news is he died according to the scriptures. Now, and having said that, over to John chapter 8. And in John chapter 8, picking up in verse 24, 8 and 24, and I said, this is the Lord speaking again, I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins, not because of your sins, but in your sins. You will die in your sins. In other words, you don't get saved, you're going to die in your sins. In this, verse 24, I said therefore unto you that you should die in your sins. For if, and you may or may not, if you believe not, if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. So therefore, God, what are we going to do? We're on the wrong side of the cross. We got to get on the right side of the cross. That's the good news. The good news involves being on the right side of the cross. Christ died for everyone. He went to the cross and took our place. He became sin for us, 2 Corinthians 5, who knew no sin. He became as one Adam, and he took all of the sin of every human being in his own body on the tree. That's what he did. Christ died for us. Wow. He paid the penalty. And I understand, and you understand, and all are to understand, Christ died for each human being on planet Earth. He died for them. That's what he did. He paid the price. The price, the wages of sin, is death, and he died. So, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you can, so therefore we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are what? We're not on the wrong side, we're on the right side. We're right side of the cross. Uh-huh, the penalty's paid. There's no question. It's done. And God has given me a pardon. He's given me forgiveness. Thank you. That's good news, but that isn't it. That's part of it. But the good news is his death, burial, and resurrection. So now we take the crucified Christ and they bury him in the tomb, put him in the tomb. That's what they did. And so believers believe he died. And perhaps they understand they paid the penalty, they're pardoned, and they're able to know the forgiveness of sins. And thank God for that. And what I do, I go and look at the graveside, the grave. And when I look into the grave, there he is, crucified and buried. Boy, he paid the penalty for my sin. And he gave me a pardon. Thank you, God. Thank you for the pardon. I put it in my pocket, and off I go, you see. I'm the same. What happened to me? Nothing. Nothing happened to me. God, you went and did that. Thank you very, very, very much. But nothing happened to me. Nope. Not yet. Not yet. Now, the second thing. So what are we going to do? We're on the wrong side of the resurrection and the wrong side of it. And if we're on the wrong side of the resurrection, well, what are we doing on the wrong side of the resurrection? Here we are going down the corridor of time, and we have the penalties paid, and we're pardoned, we're forgiven, and thank God that someday I'll go home and be saved. And thank you for forgiveness. But where's the good news? No good news yet. The power of sin Everything is there on top of me. All I can do is see a grave, a coffin where he was buried, and that's where I'm supposed to be, in that coffin. But I'm out here, and I understand I don't have any. So I need to understand. I don't want to be on the wrong side of the resurrection. I want to be on the right side of the resurrection. And if I'm on the wrong side, I'm going to be a believer, but I don't enjoy the trip. I thank God I'm saved, thank you, but I don't enjoy the trip. The good news is missing. Remember now the gospel. We did this in Sunday school and all of that. The gospel, the wonderful person of our Lord Jesus Christ, the good news. How do we understand the good news in those six letters? The good news. That's why you have the Bible. That's why you have the book of Romans, etc. God explains the good news, which we went through. The good news is explained to you. And that's why you read Romans 6 and everything as you did it. Because God's telling you, what does the good news mean? It means something wonderful. Now, hang on. So, having said that, and keeping that in mind, we need to be on the right side of the cross. I mean, on the right side of the resurrection. If we're on the wrong side of the resurrection, it just isn't going to go. It isn't going to work very good at all. So, having said that, and we have an empty cross, that's that Christ died and is buried, and here we are, and we're looking at the cross and an empty tomb. If we don't see an empty tomb, if we don't understand why it's empty, if we don't understand that, we still got Christ in the grave. We're like some people have on a cross, like up in back, and you'll see it in some places. And you don't see an empty cross. You'll see a figure of a Christ of some kind sitting on a cross, hanging. That's what you'll see. Christ is still on the cross. No, the cross is empty. The tomb is empty. The tomb is empty. You don't want to live in the wrong side of the tomb. I mean, of the grave. You don't want to live in the wrong side. No. And therefore, the empty cross, the empty tomb. So God, you got to help us. So therefore, over to Romans chapter 6. As you know all of this. All we're doing is just putting together the gospel. What? How can you enjoy the good news? You have to enjoy what? Christ died according to scriptures, buried, and rose again. So, here in Romans chapter 6, picking up if I can. So we want to be on the right side of the cross. How are we going to do that? Well, remember, you, Christ took you to the cross, and he took you to the grave. And he left you in the grave. He left the empty cross, paid the price, buried you in the tomb, and then he empties the tomb. Like we read this morning in 1 Corinthians 15, he's the first fruits. And the first fruits goes, and God's there presenting his finished work to God, the Father, and finished work. And he said, I'm waiting for the rest of the harvest to follow me. I'm waiting for the rest of them to come, to finish it off. Wow. But he's the first one. Now, so here we are looking in Romans chapter 6, and you recall, going, if I can, to verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized, placed into, immersed into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. We just did that. Not only into his death, verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into the grave. That's right. You can't have one without the next one. And verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, and that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Verse 5, 4, if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. So it has to be. You go to step one, you have to end up at step two, the tomb, the grave. And step three, you got to end up at the resurrection. Just required. Christ did, took you to the cross, buried, and he rose again. That's the good news. But you got to be on the right side of the cross. You got to be on the right side of the tomb. Otherwise, there's no good news. He's resurrected. And therefore, you walk in newness of life. You're saved in the most wonderful way, the believing heart is. So God, you're going to go. And the power of sin is still there. There's no question. And prevails. There it is. But we are certainly pardoned. And we're to be on the right side of the cross. And God has given us a wonderful life. And sliding down with Romans 6 to put it together even further. And remember, you know it. Verse 11, chapter 6, Romans 6, 11. Likewise, reckon, calculate, compute. You do it. You yourselves. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Christ died, I died. That's correct. Christ was buried, I was buried. That's correct. That's part of the good news. And thirdly, but alive, dead. Dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the good news. God rose again. What's so wonderful? God can now go and give to the believing heart a wonderful, wonderful, living, real relationship to God Almighty. It's for real. Wow. God's excited. And he ought to be. If God can be excited. Yeah. God's delighted in what? Saving you. We aren't delighted being saved necessarily. But God is. God is. Why, he created you and died for you in order to have you forever. That's really awesome. Now, having said that little bit, verse 13. Therefore, healed your members, eyes, ears, nose, throat, feet. Therefore, yield your members as instruments of a yield. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members, eyes, ears, nose, throat, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Reckon yourself out of the tomb, out of the tomb, out of it. It's an empty tomb, and you've got an awesome relationship to God. You don't have an empty heart. So God, what are we doing? You're going to go and show yourself in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And that's the good news. Good news, I need to be on the right side of the cross. I need to be on the right side of the resurrection. But not so. After the resurrection, what did the disciples do? Well, some of them went to do their normal fishing and stuff. Peter even got a whole group to go fishing. Let's go fishing. Christ is risen. He said he was risen. Isn't that wonderful that he rose? Wonderful. Wonderful. And he's there and we're here. You know, he's there and we're here. Wonderful God, thank you. That's not good news because I'm still here. And the same problem. God, the penalty is paid, and I'm pardoned, and you've given a wonderful, you've given your life that I could have life, but I don't have life. I'm resurrected like you, but I don't have any life. I need life. Resurrection, I'm on the right side of it. Yes, but you're on the wrong side of Pentecost. And until you have power, the life can't live. You can't live a life without the power of life. Where is the power of life? God gave his life. The Father accepted the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Spirit of God goes and brings to the heart. Remember, we shared all these things in Sunday school and that. The Spirit of God's ministry is absolutely essential. The gospel doesn't mean beans without the Spirit of God. Without him. But the resurrection, I have them. I'm on the wrong side of Pentecost. I have a life, but I need to live the life. I have a car, but the car needs gasoline. I have a smartphone. I don't have one, but a smartphone. Is that what they are? Smartphones? I have a smartphone, I believe. But the battery, there's no battery. Would you tell me what good your little smartphone with no power? What good is it? Will it text you or something else with no power? Nothing's going to happen. God, I've got a wonderful life, but it has no power. The light bulb needs electricity. I need power. I need it, God. You know I need it. The good news is I've made provision for you to have in the good news your death, your burial, and your life. I've given it to you. That's the gospel for you to walk around. You're a demonstration of the good news. Let me do that. Now, hang on. Having done that little bit, and in the process, over if I can, I'll say I did two things to my little old mind. In Ephesians. In Ephesians. And picking up, if I may. In Ephesians in chapter 2. Chapter 1 even. And you'll catch it. Ephesians chapter 1. And you'll catch concerning the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we are to be his trophies. Verse 18, we are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. The end of verse 18. Verse 19, God, it's a wonderful thing to have this relationship, and we need the power. That's correct. God, when you died on the cross, and you rose again, and you emptied the tomb, you left an empty tomb for us to consider, and understanding an empty tomb so that we understand and don't have an empty heart. Verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power? Power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Power, awesome power. That's how Christ, there's an empty, just a shell of the wrappings. How can that be? God did it. Nothing to it. You didn't even disturb the wrapping. That's right. I just removed everything and left the wrapping. That's what I did. Never touched the wrapping. I just took them out. Well, you did that, Spirit of God, yes. Verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. God raised him from the dead, the perfect man, risen indeed from the dead, and a marvel of marvels. God, you did that. Yes, I did that. Now, what did you do with us? Then chapter, God, you did something wonderful. That's right. And then you sat down at the right hand of God forever. to be Lord of Lords and King of Kings. That's correct. God, now, I got the power, God. And is it now? Yes. Over to Ephesians 2, and if I can, and verse 5. Ephesians 2, 5. And when we were dead, and when we were dead in sins, he quickened, and God hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. In other words, we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he took my place, your place, on Calvary's cross, so that we are buried and have life. Verse 6, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. That purpose, in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. God is demonstrating the good news. He's demonstrating the good news, and he's seated because of the good news. Therefore, when you come to the end of verse 5, by grace are you saved. Sliding down to verse 7, what are we doing sitting on the throne? Even now, we're seated there already, just the same as we died, the same as we were buried, the same as he rose again. We're seated according to the scriptures. And there we are, seated, wonderfully, wonderfully so. We're seated there. And we're going to do what? Verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's the grace of God. He's demonstrating something wonderful. He's demonstrating his saving grace to take a whosoever, doesn't know anything, can't do anything, a piece of dust, flesh, apart from God, and God has saved them in a wonderful way. Like you read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. And we're in this vessel, the treasure God has taken and given us in our little old heart. What's the treasure? God in Christ, not dead, but alive. Not bad news, good news. Grand, glorious, good news. What's good news? I'm already there. It's already done. I'm still in the body. I get all the stuff I have to live through every day coming up in the hours ahead. But I'm already there. And God, what? You want me to be a testimony of your saving grace. That's right. You have good news. I want you to be the good news. I want you to show that good news. Aha! Well, God, how am I going to do that? How am I going to show this good news? Over, if you would, please, to 2 Corinthians. And 2 Corinthians, and in chapter 3. God's going to do a wonderful thing. And now Paul wrote all these letters. God used them, like Peter, James, and John, and Moses. And so he is. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I should say. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, picking up, please, in verse 3, 1. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation? Do we have to have some letter for you guys to accept us? Do you understand? We represent, we're the apostles, we represent our Lord Jesus Christ and the Corinthians. You don't need. Do I need to have a letter that commends me to your for your keeping and care? No, you don't. I don't need that. We don't need that. What do you mean you don't need that? No, we don't need anything. What do you mean? How can that be? We have good news. We're bringing you the good news. Christ is the good news. So, over if I can, verse 2. For you are the Corinthians, looking back at them. You are our epistle, a letter, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Verse 3. For as much as you are manifestly, publicly, clearly, easily declared, seen, we are manifestly declared what is easily to be seen, that we to be declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in the tables of stone, but in the fleshly tables of the heart. You are our witness. You are living testimonies of the good news. Better than a piece of writing. You guys, you're saved. Well, how did we get saved? You got saved because you believed the good news. Christ died, was buried, and rose again. And you received him as your Savior. You took the good news to heart, and you received him as your Savior. You are our witness. You are the good news. You know it. And anyway, you got the idea. Now, having got the idea on that. So God, having said that little bit, so now God, here we are looking, and we're to be living letters. We carry the good news. Where is the good news? You carry the good news. You have a little sign, good news. Good news. Wherever you go. You go to work, and you go to work, and they got a terrible politics and power and everything. But you go and do the job and do everything you should. But you're there, and you have good news. They may not like you at the coffee machine anymore because you're good news. And they don't like good news at the coffee machine when they're, you don't seem to talk the same way we do. So therefore, you go get coffee on your own, you know. So there we are, good news. That's right, good news. You're living letters. Where is the good news? You are the good news. How good is the news as you advertise the good news? How good is the good news as we look at your life? Is it a good news? Do I find good news when I'm around you? When you're around me, do you find good news? Good news. That's what we're looking for. Living proof of the good news. You carry it. That's right. You carry it wherever you go. And therefore, God, and therefore you're going to be what? You're going to give us power. Awesome power. And if you want to take another moment, Ephesians chapter 3. All kinds of ways to see this, but just at least one. Ephesians chapter 3, and picking up, please. And you'll catch it in chapter 3, Ephesians 3, sliding down to everything, verse 19, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, having got all of this encouragement, we're in heavenly places, we're seated in heaven, and God, we have all the heavenly resources, Ephesians 1:3. God takes care of us in every way. We're able to be children of God, belonging to God, belonging rightly to God's holy heaven, and there, in God's wonderful way. Having all of that, wow. Therefore, verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power, the dynamite, the dynamo, the dynamic, the power, the ability, the capability that worketh in us. We live, we carry the good news, and the life of our Lord Jesus Christ is to be enjoyed. That's why you got an empty tomb. Empty tomb. So I'm on the right side of the cross. I'm on the right side of Pentecost. I want to be in the power side. Acts 1:8, and you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses. Same power. The same thing we just read. Wow. That's right. That's right. That's what you're going to be. That's right. You're just there. And you take it back to what you did. You take the, have such an extraordinary a power, have such good news that overrides everything in your mind and heart and the world and everything that can be said, not said, read, not read, will make any difference. God's good news overrides it all. Everything is going to go. But that good news, that relationship stays in a most wonderful way. And so you're to enjoy God's wonderful saving grace and the power of God and the grace of God before all, and like peace, the peace of God which passes all understanding. And here's the power. God, I don't know. It's just us going to work, school, doing what we do in our little physical bodies as we best we can. We're trusting you, and you're going to do what? Ephesians 3:20, above all that you can ask or think. You couldn't understand it. I'm just going to do it. You're just going to what? Enjoy the good news. Why is it good news? Because I died, was buried, and rose again, and I'm seated at the right hand of God. And that's your position. So please enjoy Easter, the good news, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Learn to appreciate the wonderment of an empty cross, of an empty tomb, and a full heart. Wow. Our Father in God, we thank you for your grace and kindness, and help us in every way, even now. Help us, God, you can say it, the gospel, the good news, the glad tidings. We can say it, but God, we want to experience it. So let it be part of our life. We don't want to be in the wrong side of everything. We want to be on the right side, your side, or the right side of Pentecost, where we can have the power of an endless life. Thank you very, very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you.